Let's read in Matthew 28. We'll read the entire chapter this morning. A glorious chapter, beloved, which speaks of wonderful things of our Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 28. And the question is this. When we read of verse 9, Jesus met them. The question is, has Jesus met you? And we read this and consider the sermon on the first 10 verses this morning, some of us, so that we may meet with Jesus once again. Now, he met with the women in person. In his resurrected body, he meets with us as the resurrected Lord through his word and spirit. And it's my hope and prayer that if any of you haven't met with Jesus, that maybe this morning for this first time through his word and his spirit, you will meet Jesus this morning. So let's read Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And that's the text that we consider this morning. I won't reread that, but we continue reading as we see more of the power and the authority of the resurrected Lord in the verses to come. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. As we consider the first 10 verses this morning, beloved, the theme that we take is meeting the risen Savior, the glorified Savior, the terrified guards, And the comforted friends are the 3 points. We consider meeting the risen Savior, first of all, the glorified Savior, meaning He's not dead, He's risen. The terrified guards, and then the comforted friends. Matthew, in this account, tells us about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who is likely the mother of Jesus Christ, coming very early on Sunday morning to the place of the dead, to the cemetery. You can read other details about this group of women in Mark and Luke and John. But the only detail that Matthew gives us is these women are coming to the place of the dead, the cemetery, expecting that they're going to find Jesus there, dead. Just like you and me, when we go to a cemetery to visit the grave of a dead loved one, grieving, they were grieving. They had faith, a weak faith in Jesus. They had a love for Jesus. But mostly, if you ask them, these two Marys, what is going on in your heart, they would say, we're sad. We miss Him. Just as we miss people when we used to have them and their presence in our lives, and we go to a cemetery thinking they're not present anymore in our life. They're gone. That's the thinking of these women. Not many days before this, Jesus was present in our lives. He was with us. Now, He's gone. This was a time then of sadness. And even though they had faith in God, they were thinking it was a time of gloom, of disappointment, failure, doom. Little did they know how God was going to be at work that day. And it began for the women with the feeling of the great earthquake. In the Greek, mega earthquake. This was no small tremor of the earth plates moving. This was God speaking, as He speaks often in the Scripture through earthquakes. God saying, I am not through with this world that I have made. God saying through the earthquake, judgment is come and is coming. This world is going to be destroyed and all opposition to me is going to be shaken out. But that earthquake also speaks of mercy and of hope for the people of God. God saying, I'm going to shake this world in judgment, but so that I may take it again as my possession, that I may redeem and renew it and make it new for my people. The earthquake is a sign that is attached to the resurrection of Christ. God is at work giving to the women, maybe they didn't know it then, but they would be able to see it later, a sign pointing to the reality, you came here expecting Jesus to be dead, but at the moment that you felt that mega earthquake, you heard that testimony, that word of God, at that moment God was saying, my Son has destroyed death. You came thinking He's going to be dead, but you're going to find He's not dead. He's alive. This is, beloved, the beginning of the new creation, really. This is the rising of the King, and therefore the kingdom of God. through that earthquake, God was saying, your king lives. My kingdom lives. And now you can say in your minds, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sent the earthquake. He sent an angel to assist Jesus. Oh, the angel is his servant. But he's not there to assist Jesus. He's there to assist the women. He's there to do, I think, what the women couldn't do, and I think what 11 disciples couldn't do. Now, I haven't been to Israel yet. Maybe next year the consistory will send me on a sabbatical. Probably not. But I'm told that these stones were huge. And when they were sealed, well, I'd like to see what that really was like. I would like to know what that seal was. I'm not sure if this is accurate, but based on what I've read and studied, I think it's something like mortar. So that removing that stone would be something like going to one of the bricks in the wall and breaking the mortar and removing that brick. These women could not do this. The 11 disciples, we're going to talk about that a little later, couldn't do this. The angel of God could do this. And we have to picture, this is what I'm led to believe, something amazing. This enormous stone that had mortar sealing it just rolled out of the way and then flipped over. As if it was light as a feather to the angel from heaven. Now, that was an amazing thing. The angel just sort of casually moving the stone out of the way and flipping it on its side. But beloved, the angel did that to assist the women after Jesus did something more amazing without any assistance whatsoever. He ripped open not a tomb, but death itself. That happened before the angel rolled the stone away and flipped it on its side. Jesus in the tomb performed the work that he said he was going to do in John 10. He said, I'm not just going to move a stone to open up a grave, but I'm going to face the power of death itself. And I'm going to take up my life again. And we sang of that. Oh, it was one thing for the angels to remove the stone, but it was another thing for that Jesus, dead and in the tomb, to tear the bars of death away and come to life again. There's the strong man who is also God, Jesus Christ. The stone was removed so that the angel could provide a way for the women to witness all of this. And he spoke to the women. But before we get to that, beloved, think of this again. Jesus has already ripped open death. The angel has rolled away this huge stone and flipped it on its side as a sign that this is what Jesus now thinks of death. It's nothing. I've conquered it already. And there's a sign here already to the women and to us. This is what Jesus has done for you. Conquered death and the grave. Are you saying it again in your minds? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is risen. And then the angel spoke to the women. command in the present tense, fear not. And the idea of that is that command, when it comes again with Jesus' words in verse 9, rather in verse 10, be not afraid, is that that command continues to be issued to us as the people of God. What fear did you come into this service with? The Word of God says on the basis of the resurrection of Jesus, that He is the Lord of life, that He has established the kingdom of heaven, don't be afraid of anything. For I know that ye seek Jesus. Present tense. You're seeking Him, which was crucified, past tense, that happened on Friday. And then present tense again, He is not here. Why? Present tense, for He is risen, as He said, past tense. And then now, come see the place where the Lord lay. And the women do not yet meet Jesus, but they meet all of the signs of His resurrection. They learn these spices that we bought, we didn't need to buy them. What we were planning to do to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, it's not necessary. Why? Because someone moved His body? No. When they see those grave clothes, and that's what they saw, they can see that Jesus' body wasn't removed from those grave clothes. And the only way that you could remove a dead body from grave clothes, the only way you can do that is to tear those clothes off, unwind them somehow. But here are these grave clothes still wound up in the shape of a dead body, but there's no body. They know that Jesus is risen. He's exalted. He's glorified. Beloved, even though we're not up to the women meeting Jesus yet, we need to meditate upon these signs. The earthquake. The angel who is a messenger of Jesus who comes from heaven to declare the word that He is risen. The stone rolled away and flipped on its side. The empty grave clothes. Who is Jesus? Yes, He died. But He's not dead anymore. He paid for sin. And for that reason, God raised Him from the dead, so that He is the risen and the exalted Lord. The women are prepared now to meet Jesus. Are you? But before we consider their meeting with Jesus, we consider the meeting of the guards with Jesus. We read that this morning in the law of God, you know. There is a visiting of God. The iniquity of those who sin against Him, who oppose Him. And we're reminded of that here in the passage. There are these guards who serve Pilate, who serve the chief priests, and at first they told the truth. And the truth is found in verses 3 and 4. There's the countenance of the angel. It was like lightning. He was shining with the glory of heaven. His raiment was white as snow. And then what do we read about these keepers? For fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And what you have to remember is that these are the best of the best soldiers. Battle-hardened, battle-tested army soldiers. They are not scared of swords and spears. They are not afraid of horses and chariots. They certainly would not be afraid of a band of 11 fishermen, tax collectors, whatever the disciples were, coming to this grave. And remember this too. These are not men who would ever fall asleep when they were on duty. But can you imagine the scene? And now we're jumping ahead beyond the text, really, but in verse 11 and 12 and so on. They go and they report to the chief priests. And the chief priests say, "How did it go last night?" "Well, it didn't go very well." "Well, the stone, we sealed it. It's still there, right?" "Well, no. It was rolled away and flipped on its side. The tomb is wide open." "But the body's there, right?" "Well, no, actually the body is gone." "Well, what did you see? Did you see the disciples?" "Well, no, we didn't see the disciples. What we saw was only one man. One man. And you were terrified?" "Yes. It was an angel from heaven shining with the glory and the power of heaven." And these battle-hardened soldiers froze and fell over as dead men. And now what is this that you saw with these clothes? What shape were they in? Where were they lying? Well, that's impossible. The only explanation for what you saw, wait a minute, is that he's not dead anymore. He rose. But we can't have that. So they came up with a lie, and everyone knew it. You can imagine, beloved, how embarrassing, how difficult it must have been for these keepers, these men who were called to keep watch at the tomb, to take this money. And now you have to go to all of your friends, to all of your fellow soldiers, and you need to tell them this lie. And only one of two things could be true if the body was stolen. One is, "Do you mean to tell us you were defeated? Did Peter and James and John really hold you at knife point? Did they overpower you so that they were able to steal the body?" And you can imagine these soldiers not wanting to admit that to anyone, that they were overpowered by these men who were weak and of no account. No one could hardly believe that would happen. Well then, the only other story is, you fell asleep? And can you imagine them maybe gulping before they say to their friends or fellow soldiers, "Yeah, that's what happened. So you're telling us that there's this great big stone in the shape of a giant quarter, that the seal was broken by 11 men and you slept through that? And then that stone was rolled away and you slept through that. And then when that stone was flipped on its side and it made a loud noise, you slept through all that. And then 11 men are scurrying around and somehow they managed to wiggle this body out of the grave clothes and take it away. And you, the number one and the number two soldiers in all of Judea, you slept through it all?" It's clearly the lie that it actually is. The only explanation, the truth, that they knew but they wouldn't believe, is that Jesus was not there because he's risen. And the only thing that they could really tell, if they were going to tell the truth, is this Jesus really is the Lord from heaven. And when he said, maybe they never heard of that, but when he said to Pilate, I could call on legions of angels if I wanted to come and protect me. And when he said that in the garden, remember, he said that when he was arrested, he said to Peter, put up your sword. But he said, I could, if I wanted to, call upon the legions of angels from heaven. It's true. He only called upon one angel, and that was enough to terrify these keepers of the grave. Beloved, what does this tell us? It tells us that the enemies of Jesus Christ are, I was going to say maybe, but not maybe, they are the most powerful people in the world. And yet, what do we see here when they are confronted with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ? They're terrified, and they're exposed as having no power whatsoever. They are weak and easily defeated. You believe this, don't you? As you live in the world where there's all kinds of earthly powers, powers of darkness, principalities and powers that are opposed to us, and the way it looks is they're so much more powerful than us. But you believe that Jesus, as Psalm 2 says, is the Son of God sitting in heaven laughing at them, don't you? And you believe that when he comes again, and when he comes the second time, beloved, I said this in Pittsburgh, the first time that he rode in triumphantly to Jerusalem, it was on that donkey. It was laughable almost. How humble and, well, pathetic he might have looked. But when he comes a second time, he's going to be riding the clouds of heaven as his chariot. And in his train, going to be the redeemed saints and the angels of heaven. And the powerful, wicked people of the world who are strutting about, and this includes Satan too, who think that they have all power and that they can do whatever they want, they're going to be frightened. And they're going to be calling for the mountains and the hills to fall upon them because they're nothing before the power and the glory of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, beloved, they won't be able to lie. Oh, he's nothing. He's not alive. He's not powerful. No. Philippians 2 says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What about you? Jesus is meeting you today with his word. And he's telling you the truth. I am the risen Lord and ruler of all creation. Will you receive this truth or continue to reject him and follow the lies of the world? I'm not a sinner. I'm not so bad. I don't need a Savior. There's nothing but terror and judgment and defeat for the guards and all who meet the risen Jesus and refuse to bow and believe. But then verses 9 and 10 record for us this beautiful meeting between Jesus and the women, his friends. And they went to tell his disciples. And then what beautiful words. Behold, Jesus met them. He met them to reveal himself to them, to let them touch Him, to let them fellowship with Him, to let them worship and commune with Him. And He greets them with a simple greeting, in this case, all hail, so that they will be able to recognize Him. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Why does He wait till now? Why didn't He meet with them as the angel did at the grave? Because that was part of the message. You're not going to find me in the place of the dead. You're not going to find me in a cemetery where there are dead bodies. I am the living Lord Jesus Christ. So He waits until they're outside of the cemetery so that He can appear before them and testify to them, look, you're not going to find me there. I'm here. I am the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ. And they came and held Him by the feet. They embraced Him. They worshiped Him as their Lord. The question for you this morning is, not have you met Jesus face to face physically, but have you met Him in His Word? And have you embraced Him? Not held His feet physically, but has God given you the faith to say, I believe in Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my Savior. He is my hope. If you have met Jesus, then you won't say this morning, well, that was a fine Easter service. I heard a minister speak, met some nice people, and had an enjoyable time of fellowship. If you have met Jesus this morning, you're going to say, above all, what happened this morning is that Jesus spoke to me, and I heard the voice of my risen Savior. And I embrace Him by faith. I love Him. And I will serve Him. The women went to the cemetery to go to a place, beloved. They didn't expect to meet the person of Jesus Christ. What about you this morning? You've come here to church. Did you expect just to come to a place, meet some people, hear about God? Or do you believe and experience this wonder that when you come to church, because Jesus Christ is risen, because He has poured His Spirit upon the world, because this is His Word, do you experience that He meets with you? That He speaks to you. That He lives in you. Beloved, this is what it means to be a Christian. Not only that you go to church, but that you know Jesus. And you hold on to Him by faith. And if you know that Jesus is your living Lord, that you are part of His kingdom, that He died to pay for your sins, that He rose again to be your King, then you must go and serve Him and tell everyone about Him. Go tell them, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. He is risen. In Him there is the forgiveness of sins. Take hold of Him by faith for salvation. And may God use me not only, but use you as a means to help people meet Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we come before Thee because we know that Jesus is risen indeed. We know that He has conquered death, that He has left this world behind in order to enter into glory, but that He shares that glory with us by His Word and Spirit. We pray, Father, that though we are not able to see Him with our eyes or touch Him with our hands, that by faith we may be able to embrace Him and say, He is mine, He is ours. And may our hearts be warmed and filled with the love and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us as we seek to tell the whole world about the glory that Jesus is risen indeed. In His name we pray. Amen.